Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Philippians 4, 6. Song of Solomon 2, 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Song of Solomon 2, 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Song of Solomon 2, 4. Matthew 12, 34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12, 34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12, 34. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to John chapter 3, verse 36. John chapter 3, verse 36, which you see on the screen. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our service. This service will be different than anything we've had in the past. I didn't know just exactly who would be in this session today, but I wanted you to know that my plans for this session are entirely different. And so we're going to be spending some time this morning sharing with you some thoughts that we've had over the last several years in relationship to the future of Grace Bible Church. So I just wanted you to know in advance that we will have some comments made at the first. Then we'll change horses in the middle of the stream, and I will preach for a few moments from the book of Daniel. So I just wanted you to know that this will be a different type of service. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our service. Father, we are thankful for the way that you have blessed us over the years. We're the recipients of matchless grace. We realize that when we think in terms of the fact that you guided the establishment of this church many years ago, and that over the years you've protected us and blessed us individually and collectively, and we thank you so very much for that. We are a wonderful, magnificent family, and we're thankful that you have blessed our lives individually and together. We realize how important it is for us to think in terms of how you've blessed us and what your plans are for us, not only for now, but for coming days. We thank you for the fact that you are with us and have blessed us. We realize that we are involved with a magnificent planner, and the planner always gets the plans right. He finalizes the complete and total transactions. We realize that he leaves nothing out. He leaves nothing to depend upon any human individual. And we're to accept the planner and accept the mechanics of the plan. We realize that you're faithful always, and you have guided us and blessed us, and we thank you so much for it. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of sharing. This is an important time for us to share with those who are in this service now. We didn't know just exactly who would be in this service, but we're thankful for each person here. And we pray that we will have today an open heart and open mind to receive that which we will discuss as we plan our thoughts together today. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for the way that you have guided our fellowship over these years. And we realize that you have not only for us now a plan, but you have a plan for this congregation for many, many years to come. We realize that we're here for a few years and then you'll take us home. And so the church is not dependent upon the pastor. The church is dependent upon your guidance and your plans and your design for the future. And we thank you for that. We ask that you'll guide us in these moments now of study and in our thoughts together. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday, we presented Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. At that time, I gave you a smooth translation. And when I gave you that smooth translation, I presented the fact that God has a wonderful plan for us individually in relationship to salvation. And now I take it and tell you that God has a magnificent plan in relationship to our church and our church for the future. In John 3:36, which you see on the screen, it says, "The one believing in the Son has life eternal. But the one not believing the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, a smooth translation, presents, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that salvation is not of yourselves, it is a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And last Sunday I presented these words, "God has given us the presentation of the fact that he is the planner." The planner gets the plan always right. He finalizes the complete and total transaction. He leaves nothing out. He leaves nothing to depend upon any human individual. And when we accept the planner, we accept the mechanics of the plan. That's faith, trust, and confidence in the Lord. Some of you are aware of this, but most of you are not. And that is that as the pastor and his wife have grown older, it has caused us to think in terms of what the church will be like years from now. I think in terms of what the church will be like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now. If the rapture doesn't occur, this church will continue to exist. And God has a wonderful, magnificent plan for this church. I have to tell you that I think about the future of the church way after the Lord calls Joyce and me home. Now, you probably haven't thought about me saying things like this, but since it's just us here today, this is the time I chose to share with you these things. It's okay, I believe, for the Lord to let me dream about the future of Grace Bible Church. My dreams doesn't mean that what I suggest or the things that I've written down or the drawings that I have doesn't mean that after we're gone to heaven that the church family will have to do anything that I've suggested. I just want you all to understand that. Because after the Lord takes us home, I will not be continuing to be the pastor here. Nor will I be asking you to read my notes of my thoughts and my plans for the future of this church. Because that will not be my business anymore. And I promise you, I won't be checking back to see how you're doing with my thoughts. The Lord has given me, and I have not gone into detail with anyone other than I've mentioned to a person or two, but just in passing, that I really feel like the Lord has some beautiful, magnificent days for Grace Bible Church 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, 30, 40 years from now if the rapture doesn't occur. In the light of that, my dreaming has been that I've thought in terms of what the plant, church plant, should look like. I've thought in terms of the property that we are stationed on now, and have drawn plans in relationship to the fact that it would be fantastic if this church family in the future would have for this city, and not only for this city, but for this county and for even the state of Texas and around the world, a lighthouse that would shine brightly, presenting the gospel of salvation and presenting the mission of the Great Commission to the world. So in the light of that, I have drawn, scribbled, put out, put down a lot of different ideas and plans. And whether or not anyone wants to look at this or have any thoughts in relationship to this after we're gone, that's okay. If they do or don't, doesn't matter. All I want you to know is that right now the church family is made up of born-again believers who are listening and have attentively listened to the communication of the Word of God from the pastor over these last 40-some-odd years. And you realize that the presentation of the message that has come from this pulpit has been from the Word of God, presenting the Word of God exegetically, word by word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, God's Word. What has been impressive to me is that the young ministers who have been preaching in recent days, including the message that you heard this morning from the Word of God, beautifully, magnificently, marvelously presented. I need to tell you that I keep in touch with what I feel like is happening to the city of Baytown. 1 week ago, in the Baytown Sun, information came that the Friendswood Construction Company, some of you may have read this, are now making plans for acreage of 500, I believe it is, and 24 acres, and various communities to be built. 524 acres, determined by Baytown Crossings, which will feature four neighborhoods, all of which will be named after Texas Revolution era settlers. Some of you read this, some of you didn't. My eyes are not the best, so I can't and don't plan to read all of this, but wanted you to know that I looked this over and analyze the fact that it talks about these communities, how many homes will be built, and how many elementary schools will be constructed, and all of these things. Let me tell you what I've thought, and I feel like that you need to at least know what I'm thinking. The church needs to plan, not for the masses, but the church needs to plan for the perceptives, the people who love the Lord, love the Word. So we don't make plans then for building mansions or huge auditoriums when that's not the way the church operates. So we have to think in terms of planning for the perceptives, not for the masses. Now, let me show you some of the thoughts that have entered my mind. We talked to Jason, who works for the city, and we talked to individuals to find out some of the plans that are set up for future days, and it appears that Baytown will be continually growing in this whole area. Mount Bellevue and the whole area will be growing. This is an example of, this is houses that are to be built in the next year or two, which would bring a lot of people to the Baytown area. The population, I understand now, is somewhere around 100,000. I believe in time it will go to 200,000. And then it will go to, I'm sure, 300,000 as the town grows over the coming years. It may even grow, I don't know, to 400,000 people, population. I'm just giving you, throwing out some ideas. Now, here's what I thought about. When you take 100,000 or 200,000 and you say that, how many believers in that 200,000? Then you say, well, we don't know. Well, then let's say how many Bible-loving people are in that 200,000, 300,000. And let's just put a percentage on it. Let's say that when the population gets to 300,000 or 400,000, let's just say that 2% or 1% of those people would be Bible-loving people. We have no way of knowing this for sure. But if you think with me about that, you can do some figuring yourself and see approximately how many people that would be. So we're talking about how many perceptive people we see today. And then we're looking at our future. And we're thinking in terms of what the potential is for coming days. In the light of that, the church has to be aware of the fact that even now, a lot of people are hooked up with our website, and they hear messages that come from this church. We are excited about the fact that that number has increased over a period of time. We don't know who these people are. We don't know where they are. But people are listening to the messages that come from Grace Bible Church. And we're thankful for that. And we believe that more people will hear messages from this church in the future. The question that I have is, what are you and I doing to help people be aware of the fact that we do have a website and they could be listening to the messages from this church? It's been suggested, and money has been provided for us to have a sign out front. Not only does it say Grace Bible Church, but it has the website on it. So as people are driving down the street, they'll be able to see the website. I wonder how many people who live in the various communities now, if they have community centers and places where people gather from these various communities, if there's anyone going there and leaving leaflets that says something about Grace Bible Church and our website. You know, we're trying to impress you with the fact that we don't need to be just sitting here doing nothing about letting people know about the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ and about the ministry of Grace Bible Church. Does this all make sense to you folks? All I'm trying to do is to let you know that the Lord has impressed my heart to tell you as a congregation that there are some things we can be doing and should be doing to present the gospel to individuals in various ways from our church family. And we've been blessed. We're tremendously blessed. You were blessed this morning by the message that you heard. This was something else. Every time these young fellows get up here, they present great messages from the Word of God. We're blessed in tremendously in how wonderful this is. But when I look at this paper and I see that our city is planning, these construction companies are planning for these communities to be built with hundreds and hundreds of homes in the next year or two or three or 4 years. We don't need to be just sitting here enjoying ourselves and enjoying the study without realizing that we have a responsibility. Does this make sense? I'm just trying to fill you out. Does this make sense? So I'm trying to let you know that it's exciting to me to think not only in terms of what could happen if the Lord, wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord let us, Joyce and me, live about another 5 or 10 years. Now, that's probably not going to happen, but it would be wonderful if the Lord let us live a longer time and we were able to see a lot of these dreams that I have coming true. But it's okay if it doesn't happen. That's all in the Lord's hands. It has to do with this very thing that I'm talking about right here. The planner gets the plan right and finalizes a complete and total transaction. Leaves nothing out. Leaves nothing to depend upon human individuality. When we accept the planner, we accept the mechanics of the plan. So you see what I'm saying? All I wanted to do today was to let you know that the Lord owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills, and we have the assurance that He, in grace, will take care of all of us. He'll take care of you and your family, take care of you individually. My major concern for myself and for you is that we will be so in tune with the Lord and so right with Him that He can choose, if He so desires, to pour great blessings out on us, and the blessings will not ruin us. Now, you have to really hear what I'm saying. A lot of people could be blessed in many different ways, and because of lack of maturity, lack of spiritual advance, things could ruin individuals. And we don't want that. I have prayed earnestly over the last years that the Lord would help our congregation grow to the point that we could be the recipients of whatever blessings He wants to give without being ruined by those blessings. Because we would know without doubt that that which is taking place is grace. Grace all the way. Grace in your individual life. Grace in your family's life. Grace in the family of Grace Bible Church. There is no difficulty with the Lord in relationship to provisions. Do we understand that? There's no limitation there. The limitation is not there. It's here. It's in you and me. That's where the limitations are. And so I just prayed, and I trust we'll pray, that we'll all grow to the point that the Lord can pour out His blessings, and we will not be ruined by those blessings. In the book of Daniel, I've discovered, and I imagine you have too, that Daniel is a model of righteousness. And you and I have the responsibility of being models of his righteousness. I had a lot more to say about that, but I won't do it now. Give me a few minutes. If you will write somewhere in your notes, Daniel 1, 4, 8, 9, and 17. Daniel 1, 4, 8, 9, and 17. I plan to read these, but I won't, because I want to move through very rapidly some thoughts. The title of the prophet Daniel is recorded in the book that shares his name. Daniel means, God is my judge. There's not much known about the early years of his life, but he appears to have been of the upper class, perhaps even from a royal family. It's recorded that he was taken to Babylon as a teenager in 605 BC. If you're taking notes by numbers, then I'm going to go back and give you the numbers. Number one, the life of this prophet Daniel is recorded in the book that shares his name. Daniel means, God is my judge. Number two, there's not much known about the early years of his life, but he appears to have been of the upper class, perhaps even from a royal family. It is recorded that he was taken to Babylon as a teenager in 605 B.C. Number three, he began service to the royal court and abstained from unclean food, the scripture says, in Daniel 1, 8 through 16. He began service to the royal court and abstained from unclean food. Number four, throughout these verses of 8 through 16 of chapter 1, we see Daniel standing true to God and to the Word of God and keeping a clean heart and a clean body. Verse 8 of chapter 1. And the man therefore whom God chose as a channel for his message to the Gentile nations of the world. We see him as a model of righteousness. God desires that each part of Grace Bible Church be a model of righteousness. Number five. About 608 B.C., 3 years later, Daniel was brought before the king to interpret the king's dream. The king was pleased and made Daniel then the ruler over the whole province of Babylon. And he became what is known as the chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. That's found in the second chapter, verse 48. This is going to be brief, so I'm giving you points. Number six, when you go to Daniel chapter 4, we learn that Daniel interpreted another of Nebuchadnezzar's dreams. And Daniel was called the prophet of dreams. And his task was to share in the actual government of Babylon. Number seven. Nelson's Bible Dictionary comments, Daniel remained in governmental service through the reigns of the kings of Babylon and into the reign of Cyrus of Persia after the Persians became the dominant world power, as recorded in the first chapter, verse 21, and chapter 10, verse 1. Number eight, Daniel was also a person of deep piety. This magnificent book of Daniel is characterized not only by prophecies of the distant future, but also by the sense of wonder at the presence of God. This is what I believe is taking place in Grace Bible Church. There will be continually over the coming days the wonder at the presence of God in His directing our activities. Number 9. From his youth, Daniel was determined to live by God's law in a distant land. In moments of crisis, Daniel turned first to God in prayer before turning to the affairs of the state. Very important point there. Daniel turned first to God before turning to the affairs of the state. Chapter 2, 14 and following. Number 10. He had enemies. We will have. His enemies even used his regularity at prayer to trap him and turn the king against him. But God's grace protected Daniel. Beautifully presented in the 6th chapter. You should write chapter 6 down. Number 11. So the book of Daniel is more than a treasure of prophetic literature. It also paints a beautiful picture of a man of God who lived out his commitment in very troubled times. We should never get so caught up in the meaning of horns and beast that we forget the human dimensions of the book of Daniel. The intriguing person whose name means "My God is judge." Number 12. Daniel and Ezekiel had different responsibilities. What we discover is that God reveals secrets to Daniel in chapter 2, verse 19. On the other hand, Ezekiel's work was to proclaim God's truth and to explain the real meaning of the miseries that had come to those individuals. This is pointing out the fact that God has, in this congregation, different individuals with different responsibilities. And God does not want you to miss out on the fulfillment of God's design for your individual responsibility, because you are a model of righteousness. Number 13, Daniel belonged to a family of high rank, having been taken captive to Babylon at the age of 16 during the first invasion by Nebuchadnezzar. Number 14. Ezekiel, on the other hand, was taken captive 8 years later during the second invasion. Number 15. Daniel lived to be over 90 years of age. I love this. I know what my age is. I love this. Daniel lived to be over 90 years of age, during which time he saw the fall of the Babylonian kingdom and the establishment of the Medo-Persian Empire. I love this. 16. He lived his whole life from the time of his captivity in the great and glamorous city of Babylon, approximately 69 years without blame and well favored, and Ezekiel describes him as a model of righteousness. You find that in the book of Ezekiel 14 through 20. Although he was a captive, he rose to be prime minister of Babylon and always remained true to his God. In my study for sermons between now and the end of the year in the book of Daniel, I came up with these subjects. Truth always pays off. Truth always pays off. In my study for sermons between now and the end of the year, another sermon came up. No time for panic. There's no time for panic. God knows what He's doing and how He's going to get the job accomplished. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful today for the way you blessed us individually and collectively. And we realize that we have no idea of the future and the plans that you have for this wonderful congregation. But it goes far, far beyond anything that we could ever expect, because we know you're in charge. There are absolutely no limitations with you in relationship to this congregation and your plans. We realize that most of all, we have the responsibility of presenting the gospel of salvation to this community, this city, this county, this state. We have the responsibility of presenting the Word of God by way of internet and other ways so that people will be able to hear and understand clearly God's love for mankind and the fact that God was willing to give His Son, and Jesus Christ was willing to give everything when He left heaven's glory and came to the earth to die on the cross to pay for the sins penalty of the world. We pray and thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ. We pray that you will help us as individuals, saved by your grace and a part of this magnificent family, to realize that you have a purpose and a plan for us individually. We don't know what it all is. We don't have to. The plan is for us to be committed totally to you, knowing that you will direct and you will bless. And this is absolutely no time whatsoever for panic. This is a time for an expression of appreciation for your matchless and marvelous grace. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.